The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Good morning, Pat.
Perhaps, Oliver, you could remind our listeners who are not familiar with your life story of your background, because literally you might not have been here.
No, I wasn't meant to be here at all. My mother was born in Poland in 1939. She spent the entirety of the Nazi occupation there. There were 2 years spent in the Warsaw Ghetto. She was on the run, basically, with the incredible near misses and many relatives, including her father, murdered. And interestingly, just to put it into perspective for your listeners, in 1939 in Poland, there were 1 million Jewish children, approximately. And by 1945, there were just 5,000. So my mother was one of those. So I guess we call her a miracle, maybe a 0.5% moonshot. She, with her mother and grandmother, found their way to the UK, and they reinvented their lives there. And I came to Ireland about 40 years ago, where I have been ever since.
Now, as a Jewish person living in Ireland, how do you think things have changed in terms of the way the community, how have those attitudes changed?
Since the Hamas attacks of the 7th of October 2023, I think I can speak personally, but it's also what I've seen among other Jews in Ireland. We seem to have cleaved together more. There is a simple sense that being together, we are the one thing that we won't be questioned about is the question of loyalties and our views on Israel necessarily. For example, we can just sit and be ourselves and worry together about the enormous changes that have happened.
The question of how people in general are viewing Israel. And on this program, again and again, we've tried not to conflate being anti-Netanyahu and his right-wing government with being anti-Jewish. But for many people, that subtlety is lost.
Yes, it really is. And it shouldn't be so subtle. If I can draw a comparison with any democracy that has elected a government that is sort of particularly populist or right-wing particularly corrupt, Netanyahu's government falls in certainly into that category neatly. I don't know personally, I don't know any Jewish person who supports Netanyahu. So there is, for us, the distinction is really clear, but it kind of goes beyond that, really, which is, why should we, living in Ireland, why should we have to comment on the politics of Israel at all? I mean, that doesn't happen with other identities. Do even today with Trump, do Americans, are they expected, Americans in the diaspora, they expected to have to comment on the politics of America? Is that even fair?
Now, once you described yourself as a Zionist with a small Z, what did you mean by that?
The whole term of Zionism has been, in my view, completely weaponized. I meant it in these terms, that Zionism actually is redundant. Zionism is, or we could say, was the late 19th century aspiration for Jews to have a homeland in the locus of their ancient homeland in Israel. And since 1948, that has been the case. So the idea that somehow one is anti-Zionist, if one was to draw a comparison, could one be, in that case, anti-Irish, if you were against the state of Ireland existing? It really is, in many ways, nonsensical. I would also claim that Zionism, the term has been hijacked. And there is certainly what I would call an anti-Zionist movement, which, as far as I can see, has manifested itself as the latest form of anti-Semitism. If you just listen to the language, just take the term break the chains of Zionism. All I hear is that somehow the state of Israel is connected to powerful forces around the world that control the global economy and so on. And it begins very quickly to sound like the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, this 1903 hoax of a document put out by Tsarist Russia that painted this cabal of Jews controlling the world. Well, I'm afraid that's a fantasy. If it existed, well, they're not very good at it, is what I'm saying. But no, somehow, in the minds of those who wish to vilify Jews, it's very convenient to talk about this dark force that seems to be manipulating the global economy. It's a fantasy, and it's a very dangerous one.
Now, back to that term Zionism. I mean, we played a clip on the program a couple of weeks ago of Orthodox Jews on the streets of Tel Aviv, or perhaps it was Jerusalem, who were being attacked by the police. They were bearing, among other things, a Palestinian flag, and they were saying they were against Zionism, but they were, of course, steadfast Jewish people who believed in Judaism. That was the way they lived. That's the way they believed. And they were attacked for their pains. So even within Israel, there are those who don't like the Zionist project, if you like, of the greater Israel.
So I'm afraid I'm going to have to push back on this idea of a Zionist project. It was never a project. It was a refuge. It was a refuge for European Jews from the Holocaust, then before the Holocaust. I mean, the Zionism of Theodor Herzl happened because of decades and decades of persecution in Eastern Europe. The idea of having your own homeland free from being persecuted as a Jew came to the fore, and groups of Jews emigrated to what was British-mandated Palestine. And then after the Holocaust, you have an influx of Jews, some from my family, who literally had nowhere else to go. And then the other side, which is basically little known and little understood, is that from 1948, 850,000 Mizrahi Jews, so these are Jews, Middle East and Near Asian Jews, were kicked out of Arab lands and also had nowhere to go. And the idea of representing or saying that extreme Zionism is how you define Zionism, I would say those people aren't Zionist at all. Those settlers who are an embarrassment to everyone other than themselves don't represent the kind of Zionism that the founders of the State of Israel envisaged. It would be like me describing the worst excesses, say, of Irish republicanism as the definition of Irish nationalism. It makes no sense.
Now, you mentioned those Jews who were displaced and under threat of their lives, I suppose, from some of the surrounding countries of the territory that it became known as Israel. But equally, on those lands, Palestinians were evicted from their homes. And we know there was a lot of violence at that time, and there were massacres, which are well documented by Jewish militants against those local Palestinians. So, I mean, this was a country that was probably not very well designed by the departing British and their allies.
So, sorry, Pat, your history isn't quite right, because the Palestinians, well, first of all, they weren't Palestinians then. That term only came into existence in 1964 and was quite really, while there was a Palestine, you had all sorts of people living on that land. There were Muslim Arabs, and there were Christian Arabs, and there were Jews. What you're talking about is absolutely true. But there were horrible massacres on both sides. And I would say that the birth of most nations post-empire is often extremely messy.
So, Oliver, how do Irish Jews then cope with the rise in the perception of anti-Semitism, even though I said at the beginning that people are wrongly conflating their attitude to the Netanyahu government with the attitude to Jewishness and Judaism and indeed the state of Israel itself?
Yeah, I mean, the community here, frankly, is heartbroken. I can feel it for them and for myself because, you know, before the Hamas attacks, I was really vocal about how fortunate I felt to live in Ireland. I certainly felt more at ease with my Jewish identity and talking about it openly and advocating for Holocaust awareness and education, which is the thing I know about best. And there is a sea change, but we're also kind of at a loss at how the whole situation has been depicted. There is a kind of rhetoric across society that is wholly ignorant. I'm afraid there has been a strong media bias with some of the language I've already used so far today just being spouted out. And it's terribly isolating when you hear that. And, you know, if we compare what's happened in the UK with what's happened in Ireland, there are similarities with lots of marches, calls for boycotts, the atmosphere in universities, these kind of apartheid-free zones that have sprung up, which are essentially part of the BDS organization, which does actually call for the dismantling of the State of Israel. When you do not hear an equal questioning of the role, particularly of Iran, in this mess, we're scratching our heads. We feel, particularly at governmental level, with the Good Friday Agreement, you had an extraordinary concentration of really great people. So instead of mobilizing all of that experience and maybe trying to work with opposition voices in Israel to see what can be done to lower the temperature. I mean, it's always a challenge when you're dealing with a government like Netanyahu. But let's also be realistic here. Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. It is, you know, the accusation is, well, if it's a democracy and it leans west, it needs to behave like a Western democracy. I couldn't agree more. But if you want it to behave like Denmark, you must expect it to have Denmark's neighbors. It is surrounded by countries mostly paid for by Iran and Qatar, and in some cases Turkey, who are actually bent on the destruction of the State of Israel. And it's real. It's real. They're not firing water pistols. From the 8th of October, 2023, Hezbollah fired thousands of rockets on Israeli citizens in northern Israel.
I think that's been well reported, Oliver. I mean, what happened on October the 7th was outrageous and shocking, and it was reported as such by all the media in Ireland, that's for sure. I remember making comparisons on population basis that if it had happened in Ireland, it would have amounted to many hundreds of people being killed here by, say, people marauding down from Northern Ireland, and how outraged we would have been. That was the reaction. And then the disproportionate response by Israel was what I think ignited a lot of the anti-Israeli feeling.
Yes, I agree that was the sequence of events. But the reporting, Pat, did not correspond to all the facts. So my point is this. In order to understand why Israeli society
perhaps behaves as it does. You have to understand the pressures it's under, the attacks it's under. Attacks from the first day it was conceived as a state, war after war after war. I would very much like you to ask the Iranian ambassador, for example, why does the regime, the Islamic regime of Iran, spend disproportionate resources for the sole purpose of destroying the state of Israel? Why don't you ask him, why is Iran the number one exporter of Holocaust distortion and denial? Why does Iran attack Jews in the diaspora at the expense, all these funds spent at the expense of the immiseration of its own citizens?
I don't think anyone is defending the behavior of the Iranian regime towards its own people and suggesting that it's anything other than a punitive relationship with its own population.
I wasn't talking about what it does to its own people, which is absolutely despicable. I'm talking about its relationship to Israel and Jews. Iran needs to be held to account. It has played a disproportionate role in bringing misery to this region. And if we want Israel to look more like a Western democracy, you have to look at the enemies that...
Oliver, you have to set your own standards, not by comparison with those around you and how badly they behave. You've got to set your own standards for yourselves. And that is the issue.
It's not the issue, Pat. So let's say we take your point of view and we say, okay, Israel's not going to have conscription. It's not going to have a hugely powerful military. It's just going to behave exactly like Denmark. How long do you think it would last in the region?
No one is suggesting it disarms. What people are suggesting is that you don't bomb hospitals, you don't bomb schools, you don't starve people. And I'm not saying you, I'm saying the state of Israel, because I don't want to confuse our listeners that you are in any way representing the views of...
The thing is, Pat, I'm not a spokesman for Israel.
Yeah.
I'm here because two Jewish men, just a few days ago, were attacked in a neighborhood 2 miles from where I grew up because they were Jewish.
Oliver Sears, son of a Holocaust survivor, founder of Holocaust Awareness Ireland. Oliver, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.